You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, but before we get started, I wanted to tell you about an exciting opportunity for you and the leaders you know this fall, the Pipeline Conference. Our team, the Lifeway Leadership Team, is hosting Pipeline on October 13 in Nashville. And it's a conference unlike others you've probably been to because it's a training conference, an event that will show you and your church leadership team how to launch a leadership pipeline. You'll hear from speakers such as Tom Rayner, Eric Geiger, Kerry Newhoff, and Paul Tripp. We'll have plenary sessions interspersed with shorter, practical TED-style talks. We'll have Q&As with the speakers to clarify and apply what was said, and we'll also offer a second day built around coaching and implementation that will have limited seating. And we really want you to join us. Go to myleadershippipeline.com to learn more and to register. Pricing is affordable, and we're offering an early bird discount through the end of July, so you want to move quickly. Again, go to myleadershippipeline.com for more information and to register. We look forward to seeing you there. Enjoy the podcast. Hey, and welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
And Daniel M.
I still don't know what my intro is.
It's all right. I have the easy one because I just give the official intro and do my best fake radio voice. So I don't have to have a tagline.
Because that's what I do on my podcast.
That's right. Which is the New Churches podcast.
I do one on that one too, right?
You do
I mix
what?
It up some. It's much more animated.
Yes. Okay.
Well, we're getting your second best effort over here. We were here first, Todd.
I know, but
we were your first.
I'm just saying, of my two co-hosts.
But we can make fun of Ed Stetzer on the other one.
We can make fun of Ed Stetzer here.
No, don't you remember we pretended he was like Darth Vader one time? Like,
welcome to the New Churches.
If this isn't a selling point for Daniel's New Churches podcast, I don't know what is, and you should go check that out. So especially if you are a church planter or a church that is doing multi-site, go check that one out. It's
so
really helpful.
The format
besides
of it,
the Darth Vader stuff.
The format of it is Daniel does one with Ed and then one with me every week.
Yeah.
And mine are more fun.
And the whole premise of it is you submit your voicemail. And we answer it in 15 minutes. So there you go.
If you go to newchurches.com, you can see right where to submit your voicemail. You do it online. You don't have to like remember a phone number or anything. So super easy.
No holds barred.
All right. Changing gears. Moving to the topic of the day. And that is tools that we use every day for work, productivity, etc. So tools we use every day, and we've just broken it down into categories. So what I'm going to do is throw out a category. We have 5 of them since this is the 5 questions podcast.
Category.
And then we are just going to rattle off the ones that we use and talk about why we like them and then move on to the next category. So our first category is sort of a broad one, and that is getting stuff done. So task management, time management, what are the tools we use every day to make sure that we get done what needs to be done when it needs to be done?
I'm just kidding.
What did you say, a thumb?
A phone.
Which would be a thumb. I mean, Todd, be honest, though. It's phones for you.
It is phones.
Yes.
Phones for me.
And computers for you.
Todd carries 2 laptops, although I think he has 3 where we are right now, and 2 phones everywhere he goes.
I could explain, but I would have to kill someone.
15 cords.
Well, I'll give the short explanation. Todd is a walking EMP who destroys technology simply with his presence, which means that he needs multiple devices because at any given time, one of them or more are not working.
They've seen this multiple times. You guys are witnesses, too.
That's true.
He's like slightly mutant in that electromagnetic.
Yeah.
I mean, you just a little bit more and then you can be Magneto.
It'd be great if it came with superpowers. Unfortunately, it doesn't.
The most magnanimous Magneto ever.
Okay, so I would say the life-changing thing for me was a quadrant that Covey has in 7 Habits.
Another thing about Todd, if he can't make it into a quadrant, it's not worth talking about.
Sometimes I will spend 5 minutes trying to put something into a quadrant. But they're so.
But not just 2-dimensional quadrants. You've done 3-dimensional quadrants.
I know. It's okay. It's called a spider graph.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. But anyway.
Yeah.
So what this does for your time management is it helps you organize your priorities because if you don't prioritize your day, someone else will, and you will be under the tyranny of circumstance. So what it does is it has. It's important. What is important and urgent? What is not important but urgent? Don't do it. It's important but not urgent. That's where you want to live. You want to live in important, not urgent. And if it's not important, not urgent, then you should not even
then
be
why are you thinking about
time
it?
I'm thinking about it. You just need to put that into it. You need to delegate that. Yeah.
So what tools do you use to, I mean, that's a quadrant, but do you just sit down and list it? Do you have like a code? Do you have your assistant make those choices for you? What tools do you use to designate those categories?
What tools?
Yes.
That's
the point of this particular episode.
No, that is the tool.
A quadrant is a tool.
A quadrant okay. is a tool.
So you, right. I'm talking about what action do you take, or is this a mental thing? Do you write it out in a quadrant?
No, I put it in, as a category 1, 2, 3,
okay,
or 4.
That's what I'm asking.
And he draws it on his window.
But I wanted a listener to hear. Yes, that's right. Dry erase markers on windows.
And I have oversized post-it notes. So if you come in sometimes, you'll see on the oversized post-it note, you'll see like emails I have to send, phone calls I have to do, stuff I need to do. And then it'll list a 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Gotcha. Yep.
And you should never see a 4.
The 4 is the not urgent, not important.
Yes, I have seen that. I have seen that in his office.
Yes,
so
that is true.
He's being real.
This is not an aspirational Todd value. This is a real thing.
The other tool
refer to episode 5.
Name is Lane, and she is wonderful.
Okay. I use Evernote. I've been using Evernote for years. I have close to 8,000 notes on it. So every single thing is in Evernote for me. So the way that I use it is I basically have pretty much one main notebook, and I'll tag stuff. So I will have, these are my next action items. These are, every time I meet with Todd, anytime I meet with the team, I'll tag them as meetings-Todd or meetings-leadership team. Projects that I'm working on on an ongoing basis, I'll have tags for those projects so that every single thing is in there. What I try to do is actually, instead of using my computer's filing system, I'll put everything in Evernote, and I'll actually work out of Evernote. So that's the major tool that I use.
And I would with Evernote, I would say it's a little bit of an all or nothing tool. Mm. Like if you want to use it for this kind of work, for task and time management and prioritization of work, you have to have a pretty rigorous tagging system. You have to keep everything there, because otherwise it's just clutter. I mean, that's what I have found. So I can only use that for collecting and organizing writing ideas, but I don't use it at all for work.
Okay.
So for work, I'm old school. I'm analog. I use a notebook and just a straight up to-do list. And I update it every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, to move the things up to the top that have deadlines. So important and urgent things. So it's the same quadrant Todd is talking about, but it's a little bit more intuitive, I guess. And then that allows me to, at the beginning of every day, just highlight the things that say this must get done today. You know, so those get, I just put like a little red dash next to those so that my eye's always coming back to them. I can build my day around those things. I'm one of those bad people who also uses my email inbox as a to-do list. That's usually
sort of a bad thing.
It is frowned upon by productivity people. But I'm not sure that they're right necessarily. I think that the thing about to-do work is you have to find the system that works for you. So anybody who says this is the best system, that's the best system for them. But the email inbox is one where I don't keep urgent things in there. That's something where I need to have a reference to go back to. It's, hey, this is a month-long project, and this is, I've sort of just collected some of these things there, because it's easier than moving into a filing system. All the attachments are right there. I'm just going to go back and get that. And then As a company right now, we use Google Docs and Google, just the whole Google sort of on, you know, the whole infrastructure there. And that's especially good for collaborative work. So if Daniel needs to share something that all of us are working on, he throws it up there. We can make edits, whatever. Yeah. You can even do it live in a meeting.
Basecamp
like
as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
Basecamp is great for managing projects.
Yeah. Especially projects with multiple people.
Yes.
I've tried to organize multiple person projects on Evernote, and I just found that it's not as robust, because in Basecamp you can actually assign task items and due dates to individuals, whereas for Evernote, personally, if there are things that I need to do or things that I'm working on in a particular project folder, I'll do that. And then if it's like, hey, I don't need to do anything until a month later, I'll just set a due date on that note, and then my email, and then I'll get an email reminding me, hey, I need to work on that. And that's how I kind of ditch it and get back to it.
Another tool that combines a lot of these tools that we've talked about is called If This Then That, IFTTT, I think, .com. I don't know.
Yes, three T's. This Then That.
ITT.
And what it does is,
I don't know.
It does stuff like,
we'll put it in the show notes instead of stuttering.
It does stuff like hook up, you know, your Google stuff and Evernote. It does stuff like, hey, if I want a text notification when my boss sends me an email, or when I get, you know, something.
That's a way to be notified when there's an important and urgent, for example.
And you could, I mean, it's anything from, you know, text me if it's going to be raining tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy all the different stuff you can do. I use it for scraping social media, of course.
But just make sure that the recipes, they call them recipes, like the
formula, basically.
Yeah. So for example, you can, if you put a label on an email in your Gmail inbox, then you send it to Evernote, right? I mean, that's kind of like, if you do this, then you do that. Just make sure that when you choose a recipe, that a lot of other people have used it. Otherwise,
it could open up a very dark place.
Yes, you can get hacked. So,
I would say on this, and again, on tools and systems for this, there are those of you who are hyperventilating right now because complex productivity tools and systems just wig you out. And there are others who are like, you guys are novices. Both of those are okay. You find the tools that work for you to make sure that things are getting done when they need to get done, and you're not stressing yourself out about it. I think that's sort of the bottom line here.
I got one more recommendation, and then we need to move on to social media. I would say once a month, you need to just take a step back and say, I'm going to stop doing one thing.
Yep. And having had some sort of tools and systems in place to organize what you do helps you figure out, like, what are the things that are sitting on your to-do list never getting done? You
can probably kill those. Or what am I doing that is just a complete waste of time that I need to stop doing?
All right.
And try stop doing it and see if anyone notices.
I try that with answering email about three times a month.
Does it work?
It actually works a surprising amount of the time. When I hear that people are super stressed about email, I wonder, why do they keep replying to so many emails? You can ignore a huge number of emails. Especially if you have a quadrant for emails, something comes in and you're like, that can go straight into my archives and they'll flag me if it becomes important. Todd mentioned Twitter. That is our next category, social media. So tools, systems that you use for social media. Ready to go.
Buffer. I love Buffer.
So Buffer is, for those of you who are unfamiliar, it is a really simple and robust scheduling tool across multiple social media platforms. So you can schedule
one thing and does it well.
Yeah.
It's not like a, I also,
it's use not Buffer. A social media management tool. No, it's a scheduling
management
tool.
It's not like Hootsuite.
Yeah.
But the reason I love Buffer, and what I'll do is I'll get into Buffer once every couple weeks. I'll just make sure that I have enough tweets and Facebook posts and all that scheduled, personal accounts, work accounts. But then what I'll do is, as I'm reading a book, if I come across a quote, I'll just open up Buffer on my phone, type it in, and click Buffer, and it'll add to my schedule of posts. So what I particularly love about it is not only that you can schedule a lot of posts and it keeps on going out.
With a paid account. With a free account, you can only schedule up to 10.
Yeah, you're right. So with a paid account, you can do a lot of posts, but you can also select the times of days and differ that per day with the paid account.
And you can schedule on the minute, unlike a Hootsuite where it's on the fives and tens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and you may not think that that's important, but it is very important.
If you're an in-depth, I mean, if you're really going for social media analytics, figuring out precisely when you want to send within 2 to 3 minutes of the hour is better than within 5 to 10 minutes of the hour, for example.
Yes.
So Buffer also is beneficial because, what, you know, Daniel said, you just hit Buffer. You can pre-set up a schedule. So I'm going to post at least 5 to 8 times a day. And then when you hit Buffer, it will just fill the next available slot. And so you just continue to fill your queue. And you can do that with a paid account, kind of ad nauseum into the future.
feature.
Yeah, and then, that's very beneficial.
And then you can go into your analytics and see which tweets have performed well and rebuffer them.
Yeah.
So it's faster to schedule posts with Buffer than it is with Hootsuite.
Yes,
but
much faster.
Because Hootsuite, you need to determine the time for every post, but Hootsuite is more powerful.
Yeah. Hootsuite is much more powerful because it allows you to create lists. It allows you to...
you can organize all your followers and interact with them. So replies, retweets, et cetera. You can't do any of that in Buffer.
Well, and it just helps edit down different streams of followers. So you can say, hey, I've got this stream for church leaders, this stream for personal.
I would say one thing, I use multiple tools for this, specifically Twitter, because I manage multiple accounts. And so I, early on in my time at Lifeway, I accidentally posted a personal tweet. It was a personal reply to the Ministry Grid Twitter account in which I called a coworker. I made a joke about a coworker being a ladies' man from a business account. and I deleted it within 30 seconds. But of course, one of my other coworkers got a screenshot of it. So that's blackmail. So I began to use TweetDeck for all personal Twitter and Hootsuite at that point for all business. So it just allowed me to make sure the content was posted where it was supposed to be.
I have one more social, and that is Over. Over is really, really simple way to add text to pictures, and it looks professional, extremely professional.
And that's why Todd's image tweets look so good, because he uses that app.
Yeah. So I was tweeting through Dr. Rainer's book last night as of the time
Who Moved My Pulpit. Excellent book. Go get it.
And so, you know, people are like, how do you do that? And how do you do that so quickly? You know, are those canned? And I'm like, no, they're not canned.
Yep. You can copy and paste text into it and then format by font and filters and all these different things. And it's very simple.
I mean, I've got, you know, a little image in the front of the book down in the corner, and then I'm just switching out the background pick each time and changing the text.
Yeah. All right, next category. This is a fun one. Todd, I expect you to have really helpful things to say on this. That is email. What tools do we use to manage email?
I have Google.
You have an assistant.
I'm fairly certain email manages Todd as opposed to vice versa.
I hate email. I mean, I'll have times where seasons where I'm great at email and I can keep my inbox low, and then I've got times where it's not good. Like probably right now there's probably 50 or 60 in there.
You guys do the zero inbox method?
No. I think every
once in a while.
I think the zero inbox method it just gives A-type personalities ulcers.
Okay.
That's but that's also because I am the type of person who the more complex a productivity system gets, the more stressful I find it. I have to keep things simple. So we use Gmail, and I think Gmail, it is an email system. It is not just an email inbox, because it allows, you know, it allows tagging, it allows archiving, it allows all these different things. Like, you don't have to keep a bunch of stuff in your inbox, because you can archive it, and it's all right there. It's got a robust search thing, so you can search by keywords, you can search by who sent it, you can search by date, you can do all these different things. And I know Outlook has a lot of those things too, but because it's powered by Google, it's just a cleaner system, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, have you noticed Gmail on your computer? You can have the inbox version of Gmail or the regular version of Gmail.
Have you seen that? I have seen that, but I haven't explored it much.
Okay, so that's an interesting tool. That's Gmail's effort to try to, I think, accommodate to the zero inbox type of people. And I mean, there are tools called Boomerang that like add-ons onto Gmail that basically you can either, if you don't want to address the email now, you Boomerang it and it'll send it back to you in whatever time frame you want it to. So those are other tools that kind of...
That would be horrible.
I mean, and it really is for those zero inbox
people. But it keeps it out of your inbox. And so if this is something that I need to address on Friday and it's Tuesday, I can Boomerang it. And so it essentially keeps your email box urgent, but not cluttered.
I say eat the frog. Just get it done. So every day when you come into work,
Todd's from Kentucky. Thing, pardon his vernacular.
There's one thing that you're dreading, or you need to do it. You don't want to do it, but you know it. You should.
Yeah.
That is the frog. You need to eat the frog. Yeah. And a lot of times for me, that's an email that I know I need to answer. And it's the Ohio principle. Only handle it once. Only handle it once. If I get into email, man, I just need to.
You just spend an hour in it and be done.
Yeah. If I save it, I just push it further down the road. So boomerang sounds horrible to me.
Well, and again, this is a matter of work style and preference. Absolutely. There are the model you're talking about is one that a lot of productivity people say. They say, don't get into your email first thing in the day. When you get into it, be in it for a block of time and then don't touch it again until the next block of time you've set up. I'm not like that. I tend to keep mine open, but that also depends on how much you are in control of who's asking you to do what via email.
Yeah, I mean, some other tools regarding email, and this is kind of power users for Gmail. If you go into settings, you can enable something called enable undo send. And what that allows you to do is once you send an email, you can set it up to like cancellation period of 30 seconds. So after you send the email, you can cancel it, because sometimes that happens. You write the email and right after it sends, you're looking at it and you're like, I need to change something.
Just send an email to the VP with four typos. A couple other quick tips. And Gmail has this. I'm fairly certain other email services do as well. Setting up rules for stuff that comes in. If you regularly receive, if you don't want to unsubscribe from an email, for example, say you get, Fast Company's daily updates, but you don't want them cluttering up your inbox. You can set up a rule that drops that straight into folders or into however you organized it. And what that does is it really suppresses the amount of email. I unsubscribe. I think unsubscribe is another tool that people need to use more often.
Yes.
Get off the marketing lists. And if they keep sending you stuff after you've unsubscribed, report them as spam and just filter them away because they're cluttering up your inbox.
Like, but never us.
Yeah, nothing from Life with Leadership. We're not spam.
Or new churches.
That's definitely not spam either.
I would say that most of our stuff is adding value.
We certainly try.
Yeah.
And we don't send too often either. But all right, we could probably go on and on about how we.
I got one more thing. I'm sorry.
All right. It's always one more thing.
You need to go back and look at an article from Harvard Business Review in February. It's called A Modest Proposal, Eliminate Email. It will change your life.
Okay. The thing about that is, 5 years ago, people thought email was going away.
Right? It's not.
I know, it's not. It's even increasing. More. Yeah, it is increasing because of the smartphone. Right? So if you think before your smartphone.
It's increasing because of our next category. So let me throw this out here and we can continue the discussion. Our next category is mobile work. Work from anywhere. So tools that are used when you are not all in the same office space. Carry on, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, so think about the onset of the smartphone. Before you had a smartphone, if you were rich, you could text message, right? Because text messaging wasn't that big of a deal and there weren't a lot of unlimited plans. But before that, if you got an email or if you had to do email, you had to find a computer, right? Or a netbook, if you remember those.
Yeah.
You had to find that. And then that's when you would address email, right? And even what was that sound? Uh-oh, right? Or yeah. you've got mail. Yeah. So, I mean, that's...
Ding!
So as a result of mobile phones now, we can get emails all the time, which is why marketers use email so much, because it's always there. You always have your inbox on you.
Yeah.
Or so push notifications.
That's with apps, definitely.
Yeah, I think I would also venture to say that an important tool for managing email is turning off. You don't have to necessarily turn off push, but turn off your notifications, because that will tether you to your email. Like, it is a psychological thing for a lot of people. When you see the little red circle with the number and it is increasing every time you look down, you have 3 emails, 5 emails, 7 emails, that begins to raise your stress level. If you turn that off, you now control when you go in and look at it. All be waiting on you, but just do that instead. Think
you want to think about an activity stream more than, email. And by that, I mean things like we use HipChat.
Yeah, or Slack is another one that people like to use.
Yeah,
as well on that. Yeah, I mean, for me, I'd encourage you, if you in your organization, if you're large, you're obviously probably going to be using Microsoft Enterprise Services, Outlook, you know, all that suite of tools, or you're using Google, right? The Google org, or a suite of tools. Those are pretty much the two large ones there.
Yeah.
Both of them allow you to share calendars, allow you to, both of them allow you to see your coworkers' schedules as well.
Yeah.
So that you can easily book appointments without having to go back and forth 5-6 times in an email. Both of them allow you to even create groups of emails so that you can send an email to a certain address that sends it out to lists. Yeah. Right. So if you're not, if you're a small startup or if you're a small church and you don't have everyone on one account or one service, those would either be my biggest choices.
Yeah.
The nonprofit org, the nonprofit Google services deal is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Because if you're a nonprofit, I think it's either free or you get.
And as part of that, you also have Google Hangouts and things like that. So, I mean, there's been multiple times where we have had either team meetings or meetings with other groups at Lifeway or people outside Lifeway where I'm at my home and Kevin Spratt is at his home and we're working with a designer who's in Ohio or whatever it is. And all of us are on the screen. I don't like video communication. Like I don't like FaceTime. I don't like Skype. But for work, there is a definite added value to that. There's also the capacity to share screens. And so you can see comps of work and screenshots and whatever else.
And you can do overlays, like put crowns on each other.
Yes. Or, I mean, just all sorts of fun stuff.
But the beauty of being in the same org, especially with Google products, is that you can just send an invite to someone else in your same organization.
Yeah.
And the link for the Google Hangout is in the calendar invite.
Yeah. I mean, it just automatically drops it in.
Exactly. We use Google Docs. We use it. I would say we leverage a lot of the tools that Google offers.
I think, just in terms of mobile work, the majority of the guests we have on this podcast are not in person. Sometimes you can tell by audio quality. Sometimes it sounds really good. That's all via Skype and a couple decent USB microphones. And then just a recording app that costs $25 or something. And again, that enables us to do something that couldn't be done 5-10 years ago, where we would have had to set up some crazy phone recording thing or whatever. And now it is free and it's easy. And, you know, in 45 minutes, we can talk to, Louis Giglio or Brian Houston or whoever. And off we go. So those are all things that I would say. But the calendar management one that Daniel mentioned is a really big one. Just being able to coordinate those things and being able to just look at all the calendars at a glimpse and go, okay, there's a 1-hour slot. I can drop in my meeting there. Those kinds of things. All right. Last category. This is a bit of a vague one, but this will speak to our own learning styles as well as just the how we enjoy absorbing information. And that is, what tools do you use for learning and personal development on a daily or weekly basis?
Ministry Grid.
Plug. Well, so Ministry Grid, we've talked about it on here before. Video, it's a video training tool that has a whole bunch, is a whole suite of admin tools and things like that. But so it's great for learning via short videos, but also if you are training other people, good for that as well. So go to ministrygrid.com and check that out. We won't belabor that point. We do use it at Lifeway for professional development, though. Videos get assigned out.
Yeah, and nationwide.
Yeah.
Right. So, global. I mean, it goes into the mobile work.
Yeah.
Global. But I mean, for Lifeway employees.
Oh, yeah.
Nationwide.
No, but yeah.
Lifeway Global.
Yes, that's
Lifeway,
true.
They're in Bangkok now, highlighting Grid to churches over there.
Yes, you're right.
And we use it to train our people that are, you know, in different countries. We're opening stuff in India and Mexico and China. We actually have offices in those places and publishing houses in those places. So,
yeah, one of the things that I love is Kindle, Amazon. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. It's not just because you can get your books right away. And I know some people, I still like writing in books and reading physical books. But one of the main reasons I usually prefer to purchase the Kindle version than the actual book version is because you can highlight and make notes on the Kindle app. But that's not the good thing. You can go to kindle.amazon.com and all of the highlights and notes that you made on a book are all there in your book. So what I do is I actually pick out, after I finish a book, I'll go to kindle.amazon.com and save all those notes into Evernote. so that when I'm later working on projects, if I need quotes, I'll just search and those books come up. So that's the way that I merge those
two. And if you if you're using any sort of Kindle app or device that is currently, you know, linked to the web at any point, so you're not offline, you can actually save quotes right to Evernote from the app. So that's, you know,
that's right.
Yep. It's your way is an easier way of organizing it, but this is a way to just drop them in there immediately. This is a podcast, obviously. Podcasts are one way that I love to absorb information. I use the app Downcast. Okay.
I use Overcast.
Okay. So,
and Undercast, anyone?
I started using Downcast because there was a point at which their podcast app was just kind of garbage. They've updated it since, and it's a lot better now. Yeah,
I mean, it looks better.
Yeah.
It definitely looks better. The problem with Apple's podcast app is it saves, it takes up so much of your memory.
Yeah.
So even if you delete all the podcasts, you go into your memory, it still has 500 megabytes a gig more that it's just storing.
Yeah.
And there's no way, I've looked, there's no way to get rid of that unless you delete the app.
There you go. So Overcast, Downcast, those are good ones. You can actually make playlists in there. You can do different sorts of things. I don't, you know, unless you're subscribed to like 150 podcasts, I don't know if that's necessary.
Yeah, and what speed do you guys listen at?
I listen to podcasts at normal speed. I listen to audiobooks at 1.25.
Okay. I listen to podcasts at 1.5 up to 2. It depends on who's speaking. And then audiobooks, I'll do 1.5.
So speaking of audiobooks, Daniel mentioned before this, I use Audible. Yep. As Audible, your preferred. I use
Audible too.
And so here's a little cool thing about Audible. So if you're an Audible member, their basic membership is what, like $16 a month?
Yeah.
And you get, so it's basically one free book a month. Mm-hmm. Well, one book for that $16. But if you're a member, you can also buy credits for like 40% off. So you can get 3 credits for $35. So it's like $12 a book.
Okay. Whereas if you I didn't know about the purchasing. I know if you purchase books, you get it at like 25% off.
So they're books, you know, so an ebook can range anywhere from like an audiobook, $13 to $25. So, but if you buy credits, 3 at a time, you can get the, it locks in the price because a credit is one book. And so you can get a $25 audiobook for the price of a credit, which is like $12.
Okay.
So that's, I'll do good. That periodically. The audiobooks are great because life is just, it's too busy oftentimes to block out an hour to read. But if I'm going to spend 30 minutes to and from work every day, it's not quite the same as an hour of reading, but you can knock out book after book after book. And I've discovered there's only certain books that I enjoy that way. Like I couldn't do a theology book on audiobook because I'd want to be able to slow down and underline and things like that.
I can't imagine.
But I can do novels, I can do history, and I can do some sort of business and leadership books that way too. Right.
Another thing that you can look at from a book standpoint is executive summaries. And there's a number of different places you can get those. Oxano, which is a sister organization, they do a really good job of providing what they call sums, which is usually several books on one topic.
Yeah.
And they pull content from those and then break it down. And then, you know, summaries aren't just for people who don't want to read a book. It is also helpful if you've read a book that you really liked and you're about to, you know, you're wanting to communicate the concepts from the book or whatever. It just organizes it in a much,
it's like somebody else took notes for you.
Yeah. And the thing about reading books is there's not just one way to read a book either, which could probably be another podcast episode, but you can read word for word. Some books you need to do that, and others you can get through in an hour just by looking at the table of contents, the appendix, the
first and last paragraph. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. In most books, I read the first and last paragraph
of each chapter
First and last sentence of each paragraph.
Okay, well, there's another style. You could do that.
It's kind of splitting the difference.
Yep.
All right. Well, we could probably go on and on with this, but we just wanted to kind of give a summary of how we get work done. Maybe offer some helpful tools, help you engage some different things. You may have heard of all of these tools. Some of them may be new to you. That would be ideal because maybe you found something that fills a gap that you were looking to fill.
And none of these were paid ads.
That's right. Yeah, we get no money from any of this. These are just things that we use because we like them.
Yeah,
and in some cases, we actually pay for them.
Yes.
So.
Yes, unfortunately. We do.
Hopefully, this helps you be more productive. Hopefully, this helps you find some cool ways to engage learning content and productivity content and manage your social media better if you felt like it was getting out of control, whatever it is. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. As you go, don't forget to visit myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about our upcoming Pipeline Conference. It will be on October 13th in Nashville, Tennessee, and early bird pricing runs through July, so move quickly to register. Again, that website is myleadershippipeline.com. We look forward to seeing you there.